I wish that I knew the words that I could put together that would cause you to listen this morning and to take heart to what is about to be said. What is going to be said this morning can save 1,000 tears. I want to speak this morning on the subject, the difference in the Lord's blessing and the devil's blessing. The difference in the Lord's blessing and the devil's blessing. When I was born, my mother was just shy of her 45th birthday. When I was born, my father was just shy of his 50th birthday. My brother was 26 years old, married with children. My sister was 24 years old, married with a child, and I was born. My parents were very faithful Christians. And my brother and sister have related to me stories that even before I was able to understand anything that was said, that my mother would hold me in her arms as an infant and talk to me about God. And that my father would hold me and tell me stories about Old Testament lives before I could possibly understand anything that was said. But I was raised in a home by a mother and father who taught me from right from the beginning that certain behavior was sinful. And they told me that if you engaged yourself in such sinful behavior, they said, you are going to break both the law and the heart of God. And that if you engage in this sinful behavior, they said, son, you are going to be unhappy and the people around you are going to be unhappy as well. So as a little child, I said to myself, these are my parents, so I believe them. So from the time of my birth, they would wrap me in a blanket and take me to the old Eastside Central Church of Christ on Van Dyke between Jefferson and Kirchhoff. And I would go downstairs in the basement into a Sunday school class, and that Sunday school teacher would look at us and she would say, now boys and girls, certain behavior is sinful, and if you engage in them, you will break the law of God. And I thought, I've heard that before. And then when class was over, we would come upstairs and the leather-lunged preacher would stand there and he would preach Galatians 6, verse 6 and 7. Don't you be deceived, because God is not mocked, and whatsoever a man sows, that shall he also reap. And if you sow of the Spirit, you'll of the Spirit reap everlasting life. But if you sow of the flesh, you're going to reap everlasting destruction. So as a child, I listened to all of these people. And what was being said at home is what was being said at the church house. So I'm hearing one message. And as a child, I only had enough sense to think, well, these people have more sense than I do. Are you listening? So as a result, you're listening to a man who believes with all of his heart that he was spared a multitude of heartbreak in his life simply because he was willing to listen to people who had his best spiritual interest at heart. So because of all of this, there are many things that I cannot stand here and tell you about from personal experience because I've never been there and I've never done it. I can't stand here and tell you, listen, you shouldn't be a drug addict because I used to be a drug addict, and when I was a drug addict, this, and this happened to me. I can't speak from personal experience about that. There are many things from a personal level that I cannot address about the world. However, there is one man who is eminently qualified to talk to us about the difference between the life of the righteous and the life of the unrighteous. And this man was an ancient king. He was the son of David, and his name was King Solomon. Now listen to me. King Solomon experienced everything that you think will make you happy. And if you were to take the time to go home and to read the first 11 chapters of the book of 1 Kings, here's what you would find out about King Solomon. Solomon owned 40,000 stalls of horses. Solomon had 12,000 men who did nothing but tend to his horses. In addition to that, Solomon was the wisest man in the world. So if you think wisdom is the be-all, end-all, that was Solomon. In addition, Solomon wrote 3,000 proverbs, and Solomon wrote 1,005 songs. In addition, Solomon had 700 wives and 300 concubines. In addition, Solomon lived in a palace that took 13 years to build. In addition to that, Solomon sat upon a kingly throne that was made of pure ivory. In addition to that, Solomon's annual income in gold, just in goal for 1 year was 25 tons. Are you aware that they measure gold and sell gold by the ounce? Are you aware that there are 80 billion ounces in a single ton? Are you aware that as of this morning, gold sells for $1,320 an ounce? Are you aware that 80 million ounces times $1,320 is exactly a whole lot of money? In addition to that, Solomon kept a running journal of his life. Are you listening? Not only did he keep this journal, but God saw fit to preserve the journal and let you and I look at it as well. That journal is called the Book of Ecclesiastes. And in this journal, Solomon is searching for the meaning of life, and Solomon is trying to find what real happiness is. And there is a place in that journal where Solomon actually says that everything my eyes looked on, I didn't withhold it. Solomon went on to say that everything that my heart desired, I let it go with it. Imagine everything your eyes have ever looked at. Imagine every imagination of your heart being coming true. And then over 35 times in that journal, Solomon says it's vanity. The word vanity means uselessness. The word vanity means nothingness. All of this stuff, all that I've seen, all that I've done, Solomon says, all of it is nothing. Now, are we ready? Turn to the book of Proverbs, chapter 10. Now follow the line of thought. In Proverbs chapter 10, Solomon is now an old man. He is discouraged, he is unhappy, and he is just a cynical old man. So the man who has had it all, the man who has seen it all, and the man who has done it all has come to the end of life, and he says, now before I go, there is one piece of advice that I want you to get. Proverbs chapter 10, and verse 22. The blessing of the Lord makes one rich, and he adds no sorrow with it. Look at it. The blessings that come from the Lord will do you right. Look at it. And the blessings that come from the Lord will not have any sorrow attached to them. The difference between the Lord's blessing and the devil's blessing is that everything the devil says to you, everything the devil promises you, every gift and every blessing the devil wants to bestow upon you, somewhere in that, some place, there is going to be attached some trouble and some sorrow. Everything he promises, every blessing he's gonna give, be careful. There's a snake in there. But when the Lord blesses, there's no sorrow at it. With the Lord, what you see is what you get. With the devil, what you see is never what you get. So this morning, I have two observations. They are the two most obvious applications that one can make here. Number one, the joy of sin never lasts. You need to hear that. The joy of sin never lasts. I grew up the first 16 years of my life in the area of St. Jean and Jefferson. Right on a corner of St. Jean and Jefferson was and still is the Fifth Precinct. I lived one block over and then down between Jefferson and the river on what was then Ingle. Three houses up from us, there was a husband and a father and a wife and a mother who had five children, four boys and a girl. Now, I have personal information about them because I used to play ball with two of those four boys, so I know what went on in that family. Now, the husband, the father, had a construction job. He worked construction. But his life followed the same cycle for year after year after year. He'd take on a construction job, and he would work long enough to pay all the bills at home and to get some money saved, and then he'd stop working, and he'd start drinking. Now, when he got drunk, his wife hated him. And when he got drunk, his children didn't have anything to do with him. And the neighbors had nothing to do with him. Everybody stayed away from him while he was drinking. Then when he ran out of this money and when the bills came due again, he'd sober himself up and go back to a construction job somewhere. And the cycle would start again. He'd work long enough to get some money. He'd work long enough to pay the bills at home. And then he'd stop working again. And he'd start drinking again. And his life followed that cycle for years. Now, I can tell you personally, that man was unhappy. He was unhappy. But there's something else I can tell you. There was a time, there was a point in his life when drinking brought that man some pleasure. It did. But that pleasure then quickly went away, and when that pleasure went away, there was heaped upon that man, and there was heaped upon his family, sorrow after sorrow after sorrow, because the joy of sin never lasts. It never lasts. Now, in this thought, I want you to turn to the book of Hebrews, the 11th chapter with me. Hebrews chapter 11. Listen to what it says about Moses and sin. Hebrews 11, verse 24 and 25. By faith, Moses, when he became of age, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. So what did Moses do? Verse 25. Choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin. Now, I want you to look at the verse. And I want you to notice first that Moses had to choose. Verse 25, choosing. Brethren, Moses chose to reject the pleasure of sin. Are you listening? Moses chose to turn down sin. Now, I want you to think about what that meant in the case of Moses here. When Moses turned down sin, the pleasure of sin, what that means is that Moses turned down Egypt. Moses turned down living in a palace. Moses chose and Moses turned down eating the best food. Moses turned down unlimited wealth. Moses turned down a lifestyle that says you can do as you please because of who you are, nobody is going to mess with you. The point is that Moses chose, and now all of us understand, all of us, we must choose. We must either choose righteousness or unrighteousness. And there is probably nothing on the face of the earth that reveals the real character of an individual more than the choices that person makes. Moses chose. Look at the passage. Sin is pleasurable. Look at the last three words of verse 25. The pleasures of sin. Now look at me and listen. If there wasn't pleasure in sin, it wouldn't be a problem. Because sin is pleasurable, it's tempting. Because sin is pleasurable, it grabs our attention. Because sin is pleasurable, it catches our eye. Because sin is pleasurable, it looks good. Moses chose. Sin is pleasurable. Note one last thing in the passage. The pleasure of sin doesn't last. The fleeting pleasure of sin. Some translations say a short time. Other translations say for just a small season. The pleasure of sin doesn't last. Listen to me. That means that the pleasure is not eternal. And when the newness wears off, you got one of two options. You either remain miserable where you are, or you got to up the dosage. Let me illustrate. Nobody has ever awakened in the morning and said, you know what? What I've really wanted here is I want to become an alcoholic. That's what I'm going to work toward. Here's what happens. You go to work and you have just an awful day. Awful day. So you come home and you want to, quote, take the edge off. And so you pour one glass of wine, or you get one drink, and you take this drink. And when you take that drink, you say, wow, look at that tingle. And you like that tingle. So the next morning you get up and you go to work again. And you come home and you think, boy, I like that tingle. So you take one glass and you drink it, and the tingle comes back and you say, yeah, there it is. Days become weeks, weeks become months, and you come home and you take that drink and no tingle. Yes. So now, I either stay miserable or I up the dose. So now I'm at two glasses. And you take that second glass and guess what? The tingle returns. Days turn into weeks, and weeks turn into months. And now you're coming home, and now it's taking two drinks and three drinks and four drinks and five drinks in order to get the feeling you had when it used to just take one drink to do it. The pleasure of sin doesn't last. Same thing is true with pot. I'm just going to have one joint. And then after a while, guess what? This ain't getting it. So now I got to have more pot. Now I got to have stronger pot. And then you get to the position where that is not doing anything at all. So now I got to go harder. Yes. Same thing is true with porn. Oh, I'm getting close to where you live now. Huh? You hear this? That's me knocking on your door. I mean, it starts out, you just looking at pictures. And it ain't enough now. So now you want video. And now that ain't enough. Now you want something real life. Here's what I'm saying. You need to take this home. This is what I'm saying. You need to take this home. I'm telling you, with every sinful pleasure, there comes an accompanying sorrow. And the devil will do everything he can to hide that sorrow from you, and you'll take that bait and you'll go with that bait, and then he will get you by the throat and say to you, look what you've done. Sin will take you further than you ever wanted to go. Sin will keep you longer than you ever intended to stay. And sin will cost you more than you ever thought you'd spend. There is a high cost for living low. Someday is payday, and you're not gonna like it. The joy of sin never lasts. Whatever the devil tells you, whatever the devil tells you, whatever he promises, whatever blessing he's trying to bestow, I'm telling you, there is sorrow in there, there's trouble in there, you're not going to like this, your kids are not going to like this, but when the Lord blesses, what you see is what you get. The joy of sin never lasts. Number two, the joy of righteousness never ends. The joy of sin, we're getting done, so don't drift from me. The joy of sin never lasts. But the joy of righteousness never ends. The longer you are a Christian, and the more diligence that you give to this book and digging out what is in this book, then the more faith will be created in your mind and in your heart, and the more faith that is created in you through the diligent study of this word, then the more inner peace and the more contentment God can bring to your life. Now, I say this based on the word of God and from my own experience in life. The only Christian who is not happy, and when I say not happy, I mean just really dissatisfied and they're done with it. The only Christian who is unhappy is a Christian who's allowed sin into their life. You got something going on that shouldn't be going on. It may be something going on with something you shouldn't, or something going on with somebody you shouldn't, but something or somebody is going on somewhere. The only Christian who is unhappy is a Christian who has allowed sin into their lives, or it is a Christian who has already decided they're going back into the world. And I can see one of them coming from 5 miles away from this church building, because they start bad-mouthing the church. Well, they didn't this, and well, they didn't that, and well, the problem is the church. The problem is not the church. The problem is your sin. That's the problem. The problem is your sin. So what it all boils down to is this. It's either the fleeting pleasure of sin, or the lasting pleasure of righteousness. That's what it comes down to. That's what it comes down to. It is the fleeting pleasure of sin, or the lasting pleasure of righteousness. That's what it is. The joy of sin never lasts, but the joy of righteousness never ends. And you're going to choose. And as you choose, you remember, your choice is going to affect you. And your choice is going to affect others. And you remember, your choice is going to reflect and affect others who are still even to come. So you choose. The difference in the Lord's blessing and the devil's blessing. You need to stop listening to the devil, because there's a snake in the gift. But what God offers is what God delivers, and there's no sorrow to it. This morning, if you're not a Christian, you need to be united with Christ and baptized for the remission of your sin. This morning, if you are a Christian, you trying to straddle the fence. Listen, no decision here is your decision. If you need to come, God help you just do it right now, as together we stand and as we sing.